Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Sorry for being late. Well, my brother came without letting me know, so I have to turn back, open out the gate for him. That's why we were, normally we are about 10 minutes early, so today is slightly late. Okay, we get ready for puja. Let us stand, the rest. Today is 8th of November, is it? Oh. Now what? Go ahead, go ahead. Sadhu. I just rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Now, let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, virya, and mindfulness. We shall commence the puja.
Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svakkhato bhagavata dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakkasangho Sanghang Namami.
Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Right?
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami.
The chanting book.
Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musawada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami.
Now we are chanting the padipa puja, offering of light. We are on page 3.
Kanna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda gunopetang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mittena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutaman adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutaman adivase tuno bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang.
Now we are chanting puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on the heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration, by the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us be respect to Pajam. Badang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay. You can be seated. We can have half an hour of silent formal meditation. Oh, okay. So there's somebody new. I will give you some instruction. Later on, we will give you some books. You don't have to try to memorize or remember what I say. You just listen attentively and try your best to follow. Then later on, you go back, you read the transcript book. You will understand. The transcript book on meditation is a typical Thursday class, which is very comprehensive and very good. So you read through that one, you will understand. Okay, what I will teach you is how to train your mind. Because according to the Buddha, most living beings, including Buddhists who don't understand the teaching, your mind think a lot. The Buddha say you are heedless. You arise a lot of thinking. Then through this thinking, you make yourself miserable. So this is called heedless thinking. You are not able to develop the training of the mind to enable the mind to do what it wants to do. If you have trained your mind, this mind will listen to you. You want to be peaceful, silent, relaxed, aware, it will just do that. That's why when you have trained this mind, you can easily meditate. There is no more problem. But when you have not trained, it's just like the dog. If you don't train that dog, you ask the dog to sit, he doesn't know what you want. He look at you, then you say one more time, he bark at you, because he doesn't know what you want. So the training of the mind is similar. When you don't explain the understanding to the mind will do its usual thing. That's why it will arise what they call mental hindrances that make you heedless. So what I will do is I will teach you two parts of the technique. First is the mind sweeping method, followed by metta. Metta is loving kindness, to train your mind to decondition your heedless thinking. Because when you do the mind sweeping method, you just feel and relax, you don't think anymore. So this constant feeling and relaxing of the mind will make you calm, make you peaceful. Then you continuously sweep your mind from the forehead down until your buttock, then reverse. In between, we arise the good mind state of metta, which is loving kindness. Loving kindness is a very important mind state. It can help you overcome unhappiness, sadness, sorrow, lamentation. Pure loving kindness is a very, very soothing mind state. It has a lot of love. You not only wish for your own well-being and happiness, you also wish for the well-being and happiness of others. Then extending it out to the all the beings in the entire universe. So when you have love, you become peaceful, you become beautiful. You will have a lot of joy inside your heart. So this is how you decondition your heedless thinking and train your mind to be peaceful. When there is love, there is no heedless thinking. When there is love, there is no unhappy feeling. That's why love is very important. Love is a mind state that gives rise to peace and joy within. Then after that, you have to stabilize this silent mind or peaceful state of mind. I will teach you the second skillful means, which is anapanasati. Anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. So anapanasati is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So you use this technique to stabilize your mindfulness or your silent mind. When your mind is relaxed, peaceful and silent, it is already mindful. You no need to make it mindful. The thought cannot make it mindful. You only need to understand the moment you are without thought, you are already aware, mindful. But the untrained mind cannot be quiet. The untrained mind cannot silent. That's why it is not able to develop the ability to enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And that is the reason why the heedless thinking continuously arise, because you lack what they call the five spiritual faculties. I will explain them later. The five spiritual faculties are the mind state that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching, the teachings of the Buddha. When the five spiritual faculties are not there, the five mental hindrances, the opposite five, will arise. And these mental hindrances, the Buddha says, will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why it's called a hindrance. It hinders you. So if you constantly, through your heedless thinking, arise the mental hindrance, then throughout the day, you are not peaceful. You cannot realize the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why human beings got a lot of problems. Their mind constantly arise the mental hindrance of restlessness, leading to fear, worry, anxiety. Then the heedless thinking make them unhappy, miserable. They want to be peaceful, but they can't, because the thought is so powerful. Okay, now we are off the line. Then I will guide those who need instruction. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away go ahead with the meditation. For those who are new and need instruction, you listen. Make sure you have a stable sitting posture. Relax body and mind. Completely relax, relax, and relax. Relax means don't do anything. Just feel yourself at peace, at ease and at peace with all things. If the thought arises, let it arise. Then make sure your backbone is straight, silent everything. Then close your eye. Maintain attention at your forehead. Just feel. Feel your forehead. You can detect any tension, any stress within, or any tightness in your forehead. You just relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel. Just feel. Then relax into every strand of your eye muscle. Any tension, any tightness, or any stress within, you just relax, relax, and relax. Feel it soothingly. Relax. Then you sweep your mind down to your facial muscle. Yeah. Layer by layer, feel your entire facial muscle in a relaxed state. Then in order to help you to relax naturally and more deeply, you can visualize yourself against a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. So when you can visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile in front of a mirror, you will have joy. That joy will naturally relax your facial muscle. Then after that, you can radiate love and metta. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful, always. May my body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then after that, you can radiate the same metta to your loved ones, your parents, your brothers, your sister, your good friend, your good neighbor, your colleague, somebody that is close to you. May all my loved ones too be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they always keep themselves well and happy, peaceful and well. And may their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they always keep themselves happy and peaceful, always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts too. Then you can extend this metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity of Subhangjaya, including all your Dhamma friends, co-meditator, cultivator, then extending all this to all beings within the whole of Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and Mother Earth. Extending to our solar system, all beings within our solar system, our galaxy, then moving on to our Milky Way, including all beings throughout the entire universal existence. May all beings within the entire of this universe to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May their mind states still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always.
May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, just feel and relax. Then you shift your attention now to your neck, feel, relax. Shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Then back to shoulder, feel, relax. Then you shift it down to your heart area, your chest area. Just silence your mind, silence everything and just feel. You can detect whatever vibration or your heartbeat. You just silence everything and stay there. Maintain the silent mind and the awareness. Just be aware of whatever vibration or whatever movement that you can detect there. If you are new and you are not sensitive, then you can just feel, just like you feel your forehead, feel your heart area, and relax, relax, and relax into every part within your heart area. Wherever there is any tension, any tightness, you just relax them. Then you shift this awareness or attention down to your stomach, feel, relax. Then you move it down to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then do the same for your leg, feel, relax. Your buttock, feel, relax. When you just feel and relax, there is no thinking. You will become more and more quiet, more and more quiet. Then you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method, starting from your buttock, feel, relax. And shift your attention to your leg, feel, relax. Move it to your abdomen, feel, relax. Stomach, feel, relax. Then your heart area, silence everything, feel, relax. Then you move it to your shoulder, feel, relax. Hand, feel, relax. Back to shoulder, feel, relax. Your neck, feel, relax. Then your facial muscle again, sweep it through, feel and relax every strand of your facial muscle. Then you move it out to your eye muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel, relax. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. So if you are used to this type of mind sweeping method, Kama Metta training, you can repeat it one or two times, up to you. But if you're already familiar, then you can straight away develop anapanasati, means the stability of mindfulness need to be developed to anchoring your silent mind to something. We call it the breathing, the breath. So anapanasati is just mindfulness of the in and out breath. So what you do is you feel your breathing, maintain your attention in front of your nostril, just silence your mind and just feel. Then because you're silent, that silent mind can detect the breathing. Then like the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Just develop this training. As long as you can maintain your silent, mindful attention on your breathing, then you are doing it correct. But if you are new, it's not easy because you will come to understand your heedless thinking mind cannot stay on the object of meditation, which is the breath. Split second, you will wander off. Then you are no longer with the breathing. But don't worry. Every time you wander off, just bring the attention back to your breathing, then repeat the whole thing until you can get it right. If you are patient enough, within less than 5 minutes, you should be able to do it. Then when you are able to be mindful of your in and out breath, your mind will start to calm down because there is no thinking, it's just awareness. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Aware means your mind is aware of the breath. So the two in harmony and synchrony, move as one. If you continue to do that, you will develop very calm state of mind, and you will experience a type of spiritual joy which they call spiritual calmness or piti. Piti is a spiritual rapture, spiritual joy. And when you experience it, you become very different. You will like to meditate because this mind state is very conducive for meditation. Then you continue to train, relax and mindful of the in and out breath. As you continue to train, you will become more and more calm, more and more peaceful. Then when the calmness develops, you have to relax into it. Relax, relax, relax. The more you relax, the more refined your peace will become. So relaxation is very important. Learn to relax into every mind state that arises. Whether it's a calm state or an absorption state, just relax into it and allow it to be. Then as you develop this training, your mind will become more and more peaceful, more refined. Until from piti, it becomes sukhang. Sukhang is very, very blissful state of mind. It is more refined than piti. You will experience a type of calmness leading to blissfulness within your mind. You feel very blissful. When this happens, you continue to relax and train until that sukhang also fade away. Then you will come to realize finally your mind becomes very quiet, very still, very peaceful on its own. That is called pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. This is the meditative mind. This is what Jai Krishnamurti meant by finding silent or finding peace. The peace within, the silent within. When there is no thinking, the mind is still. That is your true mind. That is your silent mind, your meditative mind. So you need this mind to meditate. So when you hit this one, you just silent everything, relax and don't do anything. Just maintain the awareness. Whatever that the mind can be aware of, you just stay there for as long as you can. Initially, your breathing will become like subtle until no more breathing. But don't panic. Don't do anything. Just stay there. So when this awareness becomes more and more refined until it is able to develop the mind that is in the state of sati, means the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, you will know where your mind becomes very sensitive. So during that time, wherever you locate your mind, it will like magnify for you to understand. So you just train your mind in this way. Then later on, when you are more skillful, you use that trained mind, the meditative mind, the silent mind, to develop wisdom, the understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. That is what meditation is. Then later on, after you come out of the form of meditation, your mind will be very different. Then you have to maintain this mind state that you have trained for as long as you can. Then, if possible, you have to use it to live life, develop the daily mindfulness to stabilize your sati, leading to samadhi in real life, in the midst of life. So when you live life with this type of mind, you become heedful, ever mindful. Then you will progress very fast. Then with this, you will witness all of the Buddha's teaching, the essential Dhamma that he spoke and he taught. Then from there, you will awaken, you will understand many, many things. Then it will lead to what they call the initial wisdom, called Yoniso Manasikara, means wise attention at the moment of sense experience. or wise consideration at the moment of sense experience. Okay, I will leave it to you to do the training and the meditation. Then I will ring the bell when it's about about 9 o'clock. For those who already have enough of the meditation, please slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. And after that, you have to continue this mind state from your meditative posture as you come out. Whatever you do, mindful. Yeah. After you have trained this mind, especially anapanasati, then you have silenced your mind to develop the continuous mindfulness. You can be heedful in the midst of life after that, provided you continue with your practice in daily life. So after anapanasati, under the four foundation of mindfulness, kaya nupasana, after you have developed anapanasati, means you have developed mindfulness of the in and out breath, you're supposed to continue with your four posture type of practice, mindfulness of your four posture, standing, aware, walking, aware, lying down, aware. Yeah. Then sitting, you also need to maintain awareness. So these are the four major postures we are always in. So nowadays our society is different. We don't sit on the floor like we cross our leg. You sit on the chair, you can also maintain awareness. Then the next category of training is mindfulness of all the activity that connect the four postures. We call this the daily mindfulness. The Buddha introduced another factor apart from sati, is that you must train your mind not only to have mindfulness, you must also have clear comprehension. You must clearly comprehend what you are doing. There are four types of clear comprehension. The first one is sincerity of purpose, means you don't debate. You are here to train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to develop wisdom, nothing else. You are not supposed to focus, concentrate, and develop all the concentration, or what they call samatha type of energy field meditative training. So that is a deviation. If you do that, your aim is not insight, wisdom. Your aim is energy field leading to all the psychic phenomena, jhanas, and all those things. It depends if you have your past developed through that way, you can go in first to find out, then come out of it to develop the daily mindfulness. You can still make it. So sincerity of purpose is very important. You are very sincere why you do the daily mindfulness, the meditative training. Is to develop wisdom, to free your mind, to develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha Dharma, nothing else. To root out your greed, hatred, and delusion, the evil roots. Then the second one is clear comprehension of domain of meditation. Means meditation is not when you are in a quiet place, sitting, conducive environment, no. Domain of meditation means you can meditate anywhere, anytime, any place. You only need to maintain mindfulness or heedfulness throughout the day. That is meditation. So you don't have that delusion that you can only meditate when you are at a retreat or in the temple or at a way place. Then some people have this wrong thinking. They thought they must retire to meditate. No such thing. You can meditate while you are living your life in the midst of life and nature activity. You should be in the meditative state. That's why meditation is life itself, full time, continuous mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Then the third one is the clear comprehension of suitability. The most important place is here and the now. Then the most important people are those who are around you. Then then the most important time is now, this moment. So clear comprehension of suitability so that you will not debate. So that you won't complain, "Ayo, this place so noisy, not conducive." Last time at the temple, at the retreat, very conducive. Or sometimes you at home, you meditate. "Ayo, at home, not like Brother Sui'an's house, very conducive," or Tuesday class or Sunday class. Because there is a difference. The collective energy together with whatever wisdom energy there is in the Rupa statue, they actually help out. The collective energy and all this help out. That's why you find it very easy to meditate here. Or when you are around my nature, you settle down very fast. So that is one aspect that you need to understand. You don't blame the environment. You don't go and procrastinate. Means to meditate is now. You don't have to say, "Ayo, I need to sleep," unless you are very tired. Then you go for a nap. After that, you are fresh. You start your meditative training again. Then whatever you do in the midst of life, maintain mindfulness. That is what the training is all about. The real meditation is the daily mindfulness. You don't do it until that level, chances are you cannot make it. You have to be ever mindful, like the Buddha said. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless die as if did. So Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 is very clear. You have to develop continuous mindfulness. Then the last one is clear comprehension of non-delusion. Means when you progress in your meditation, when you experience the 10 defilements of insight, you are not deceived, you are not deluded. These are defilements of insight, although it's a sign of progress. But if you become complacent, you take it to mean that you already enlightened, then it's a trap. It becomes a delusion. That's a clear comprehension of non-delusion, the 10 defilements of insight. It's all in the teaching. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. "In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching."
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Satamang Munira Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vichacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasarati Sattadeva Manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swaka Pasiko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sawakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Sawakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sawakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Sawakasango Yadidam Chattari Purisa Yukani Hatta Purisa Pugala Isa Bhagavato Saukasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttaram Punyaketam Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu.
Okay, let us be respect, Bhaja. Buddhang pacheme. Dhammang pacheme. Sanghang pacheme. Okay, you all can be seated. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. In front of you, there is a J. Krishnamurti Dilip Quote. This is a very important Dilip Quote. The title is Finding Silent. And this is related very deeply to meditation. Yeah. Oh, anybody who don't have, I will have it here. I will pass to you. Yeah. Distribute it. Yeah. Anybody don't have, put up your hand. Yeah. Pass it to the back. And you just pass to Pharmacy. Anybody else? Yeah. Everybody have a copy? Yeah. I also send it to the Maikaya Mita. So if you have not registered, you better register with your email so that you will receive all this. Our Maikaya Mita subscribe at yahoogroup.com. So you type this one in, then you send an email there. Then you auto register because Sui An is the administrator. So once you are there, the moment I send out through the Maikaya Mita address, which is a slightly different address,
you all will receive it. Yeah. And this one also, I think we have a Yahoo group, isn't it? Yeah. So the only thing is we seldom use it. Only Sui An I saw occasionally go in and use. But because we have our website, unless later on we want to interact through the yahoo.com group, what they call link, then we can use it. Then the time you can ask whatever question, everybody will know, then you all try to reply. Actually, the discussion is not bad. You can learn a lot of things. Last time, I remember during the early day, but that was after I have already developed the understanding of the Dhamma. I came across this website, Dhamma Sukha in US. Somebody just sent it out. Then I happened to receive it. Then I want to find out what they are discussing. So I go and register. That time I don't know what this thing is. So I register. Then when I was in to the website, I learned how to use. But at first I didn't do anything. I just let the discussion go on. There was nothing much to share and write. So they were having a lot of, not really funny, a lot of very enthusiastic type of question that new cultivator used to have. Then they were trying to explain how they understand it. Then another one will come and say, no, not like that, it should be like that. Then finally, there is one lady who assists the Bhante. She will comment. Then she not sure, she will ask Bhante. Then sometimes Bhante also comment. But during the early day, I remember, there were a few occasions of these new people who doesn't really understand the, they call house rule of the website. And they simply do things and others say, oh, then kena reprimand. And sometimes you can see the administrator get angry, not happy. So I let it run. Then later on, somebody asked a very interesting question about meditation. Then that time, I just went in and shared something because I felt that it was very useful to understand that. So I say, from my little experience, I put it in inverted comma. My understanding of meditation is, and then I wrote quite long. Then it so happened during that time, the Bhante was not around. I think he went for, conduct retreat. Then the student become very excited after the reply. And a lot of them wrote to me, then I explained some more. That's how the book, the three turning and all those things, the email compilation come about. But then after he came back, something not so pleasant happened. So I just lie low, withdraw from it. Because he made a comment, he said, this is all Mahayana teaching, nothing to do with Theravada. So I just keep quiet after that. I didn't even want to answer, I just let it be. I say, because that time people ask, that's why I reply. I say, this is from my little understanding. I never say this is the truth. But you can find out yourself. Then I lie low. But later on, there was another situation. The Bhante himself asked. He seek help from everybody. Then when I reply, that reply was actually very, very clear. Then I think he felt something like hit him, or he became emotional, and he tried to defend and he scolded and say a few things, but luckily it ended up well finally. I replied to him very nicely. I said, you ask for help, that's why I reply, otherwise I wouldn't even want to reply. Then only he knew he was actually overreacting. Oh God. But it end up well. Finally, he wrote to me personally, separately, and we had a very good understanding. That's why when some of the incident happened, one of them want to leave the site and say he want to join me. I said, no, please, this is a very good site. You please maintain your whatever attendance here and all those things. So from this experience, I encourage you, if you want to make it into a discussion website, our yahoo.com is very good, very good. Then you can partake more. Then now you have better facility because we have our own brotherteo.com, my Kalimita website, where all our sharing, our recording, our transcript book, our spiritual trip, annual retreat recording, everything is there. And it can bring back good memory of what you have done, the wholesomeness and all those things. So all these are very useful. Then before I go into this Jai Krishnamurti quote, Finding Silence, I think I promised you all before we went for the Anandagiri trip, I will do a revision over the Avijja Sutta. You remember? A lot of you requested it because you find it very useful. And in fact, this Avijja Sutta is very important. This is the sutta that explains very clearly to you about how living beings who don't have the understanding will fall into ignorance or delusion. Avijja is ignorant. Ignorant means not understanding the truth. So when you don't understand truth, you become ignorant. Ignorant doesn't mean you are not educated. Don't get it wrong. Ignorant of the truth is what real ignorance is. The Buddha called it avijja. But when you have wisdom, means you understand truth, then you are having vijja. Means you don't have avijja. So the Avijja Suttas spoke in a very clear-cut manner how the Buddha explained the two sequence. They have the ignorance sequence, how ignorance come to be. Then you got the enlightenment sequence, how enlightenment comes to be. And surprisingly, the Buddha make it very clear. It all started because you don't have Dhamma friends or noble friends. So it's still on the whiteboard. So Avijja Sutta. So Avijja Sutta got two sequence. Second one is Avijja sequence. Then you have the enlightenment sequence. So the Avijja sequence is laid down under all the 9 steps. So if you want to start from avijja, is it? The reason for avijja is the 5 mental hindrance, the Buddha said. In the sutta is used the word the nutriment. For avijja is the 5 mental hindrances that I explained just now. These are called mental hindrances. You see over here? Well, these are the mind state that hinders your mind from having clarity, from entering the many meditative mind state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why it's called mental hindrances. It hinders you. And what are they? The Buddha said they are sensual desire and ill will. So these are the two duality of life. And they are part of the evil root of greed and hatred. That's why when you have these two, sensual desire and ill will, you cannot have peace. Your mind will not be peaceful. Why? Whenever you live life, let's say you see something, or you hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel, or thing, what normally do you do? You straight away will react to what you see there. Pleasant, unpleasant sense experience. So what is pleasant? Pleasant sense experience means sensual desire. You like that vision. You like what you see. But if it's unpleasant, it becomes ill will. That's why your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant reaction to sense experience. When you see something, hear something, think of something, smell something, or taste something, or tactile feel something, you will react. Yeah. That's why they say human beings who are deluded is the most difficult to please. Why? Hot also complain. Rain also complain. No rain also complain. Hot also complain. Too cold also complain. Everything they want to complain, that's it. Yeah. And when they are used to comfort, they attach. Then when they cannot get what they want, they become unhappy. So these two mind states, throughout the day, you arise them without you knowing it. That's why through your heedless reaction to sense experience, you create mental hindrance. If throughout the day, you react to sense experience and create this mental hindrance, then how can you be peaceful? True or not? This becomes habitual, isn't it? You think a lot. You react so much. All these are mental hindrance. And every time you do this, the mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state or inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. That's why you cannot be peaceful. And this is the result of ignorance. Because without ignorance, you won't arise this. So when you arise this, means your ignorance is very strong. So that's why the nutriment for ignorance is the five mental hindrance. And the reason why you have this is because you don't have the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculties. This opposite five, the spiritual faculties, are very important. The Buddha said, when you have faith in his teaching, when you have faith through knowing who he is, how special a being he is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. And he is very, very different in the sense that he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. That's why he is perfect in wisdom and virtue. This makes him special. Yeah. Then the next one is, after you have the faith, it will drive you to learn his teaching. You will have this virya or spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity to go this way. Yeah. Then when you have this, it will drive you to cultivate. That's why you will develop the important enlightenment factor, mind state or sati. Sati is awareness or mindfulness. You are just aware or mindful without thought. Yeah. So sati is a very important mind state for meditation. It's the first factor of enlightenment. We call it mindfulness in English, translated as. But the more appropriate word should be awareness. When you are aware before the knowing, that is always sati. You're just aware without thought. Yeah. Then when your sati stabilizes, it becomes collected and unwavering, you develop what they call samadhi. And this is not a concentrated state, no. That's why nowadays more and more people start to understand they use the word collectedness of mind. They don't use concentration. Where concentration will lead to samatha, jhana and all those things. Then panya is the last one. When you have sati and samadhi, when you are mindful, and your mind is collected, you can see things as they are, and you will develop the wisdom, which they call panya, the last spiritual faculty. So these five will counter the top five. So this top five, I have to explain a bit. I just told you first two. Mental hindrance can also come in other form, when you don't keep your precepts, and you don't understand the Dhamma, the teaching, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So you will make a lot of mistakes in life, especially when you break your precept. So when you break your precept, you create a lot of problems because you kill people, you harm people, you cheat people, you deceive people. Then you commit sexual misconduct and you cause your marriage to be subject to risk. then you breach the marriage contract of sincerity and trust. So all this can bring about great consequence. Yeah? Then when you lie, it's the worst. When you speak harshly, scold people, then when you backbite, say bad things about people, then you simply arise the frivolous speech. You think it's a joke. You just say what you like, and it can hurt people. So all these are the inappropriate speeches. So when you do that, the last one is when you take drugs, intoxicants and other things, or liquor, alcohol, you make your mind and consciousness very, very dull. Then through that dulling of your consciousness, you make a lot of mistakes. You can break all the other precepts. And when all these precepts are broken, you got fear, you got worry, you got anxiety. You're scared people come after you, the law come after you. So when you have fear, worry and anxiety, you are not peaceful. Your mind will become restless. Because you worry so much. And you got so much fear. What happened if the police come to know? What happened if my spouse come to know? What happened if that guy who was harmed and hurt by me, he come to know who did it to him? So all this will create tremendous fear, worry, anxiety, lead to restlessness of mind. And this is the worst. When you are restless, you cannot meditate, especially when you have problem. We call it the problem of life. So as human being, the Buddha say you got 8 things that can make you miserable. What are the major problem of life? First one is a lot of people will say money problem, financial problem. Actually, financial problem is not that serious. Health problem is a very serious thing. Nowadays, my hometown school reunion, you go back, they don't ask you, hey, you still working? You retired already? Where do you stay? And all say, how are your children? The first thing they ask you, can sleep or not? Can eat well or not? Can move around or not? Then, are you happy? If you can't eat, can't sleep, and can't move around, means what? You are not happy. You are miserable. Then what is life? Then the other thing that worry people is sickness, disease, which is part of health. Then getting old is another problem. You become like senile. You got dementia. Then you got a lot of other disease related. As you age, your senses fail you. And your health deteriorates. And a lot of things you used to have the ability to do, to enjoy, you fail to have the ability to enjoy. Then your relationship with people will deteriorate. You know why? When you become unhappy, you become moody. Then you become what? When you become unhappy and moody, your character is terrible, I tell you. Nobody likes you. Then you create relationship problem, isn't it? Your relationship with your family members, with your children, all will deteriorate. You don't understand life. You don't know how to appreciate life and live life. So if you are not sensitive, you don't have love, don't have compassion, don't have wisdom and understanding, then life becomes an issue. It becomes a problem. So this is what restlessness is all about. Then the next one is doubt. When you don't know what is happening to you, to your life, everything don't seem to go your way, like you very sui. Then every time you blame people. Sometimes you even blame God. Why is God so unfair? Why I so sui? Then sometimes through remorse, you blame yourself. That is the worst. Means you never love yourself. You don't understand what love is. When you really love someone, especially your children or your loved ones, what do? You go all out to care for them, isn't it? Then provide for them, sacrifice for them, and you look after them. You are willing to sacrifice. for them and do a lot of things for them. So loving yourself is the same. You don't allow yourself to be harmed, to be hurt. You protect yourself. Protect yourself means what? You don't go and harm yourself unnecessarily. But human beings who are heedless and deluded or ignorant, they are so foolish, they always do things that hurt themselves and harm themselves. How they do it? They go and think the wrong thought. So when they think the wrong thought, they become miserable. They arise what they call the fear, the phobia, the worry, the anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and the unhappy thought. Because you always think of the wrong thought. You always complain. Why my own loved one nowadays ignore me, do not love me anymore, do not care for me. Then sometimes you compare, you say, even my friend come and see me, but none of my brother, sister come and see me. So you felt very like unhappy, depressed. Like, this is our wrong thought. And the Buddha say, what is wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, and your unhappiness, and even your insecurity, when you feel very insecure, that is fear. Yeah. So, one thing to be safe is a fear. Because there is nothing safe in this world, understand? Everything follows nature's law. You don't take care of karma, the karma will act against you. When there is condition, it will trigger off and it will cause you suffering. But when you have the understanding, you cultivate accordingly by following the advice of the Buddha to keep the precept so that you can avoid all evil. Then you cultivate wholesomeness and goodness. Then you develop wisdom to purify your mind. Then your life takes a turn. Your karma taken care. When you take care of karma, karma take care of your life becomes beautiful, improved. This is how you can actually overcome everything. Mm-hmm. So, coming back to the five mental hindrances, we have finished the first three. The last one is doubt. Doubt, yes, I spoke a bit. Doubt means you're not sure because you don't know the teaching. You don't know how to change your life. You don't know how to improve your life. If you understand the Buddhist teaching, you are really, really very blessed and very lucky. Because whoever who have the condition to understand this teaching, their life will improve tremendously. It will transform them completely, both character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, wisdom-wise. And their life will take a turn and they become beautiful. That's why this teaching is very important. But if you don't have this teaching's understanding, you will have doubt. Then you start to blame people, worry. Then you start to simply listen to what people tell you, become gullible. Then they tell you, hey, your feng shui no good. And the worst is what? No? There was one guy, everything seems to go wrong. No? Then got one friend of his, this one happened to be one of the Kayamita's son. No? You know what the father told me? He said the son, so stupid until people tell him, your car, the color sway. You go and spend money, respray your car. Good luck. He go and spend money, respray the car, become worse. Hey, crazy. Nothing to do with the car color. Understand? Because all this feng shui thing, when you don't understand it, you go and do. You're wasting your money, I tell you. The one that you have to take care is karma. Understand? Because the Buddha make it very clear under the five daily contemplation, the last one. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. You don't want to take care of karma, you take care of feng shui. You go and ask the, what they call it, what the medium and all that, or the bomo. You go and look for trouble, understand? As long as you don't take care of karma, the law of karma will hit you back. Because everything that happened to you, the Buddha said, because you are born of it, karma. You'll inherit it, heir to it. that every moment, every instant, you are conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are because of it. And you somehow don't want to take care of karma. Means you don't understand life. You are heedless. You didn't really look into life. You didn't really want to make a difference to your life. That's how a lot of human beings suffer, become miserable. They believe the wrong thing. Then the third one is sloth and torpor. Sloth and torpor is easy to understand. When you are in the school, when you attend a class that you don't like, what happens? The subject very boring. You sure feel sleepy there. So likewise, this spiritual teaching, you don't see the importance of this spiritual teaching, you come here, you will be sleepy one, I tell you. Yeah. Because you are thinking of your friend outside waiting for you. Having your teh tarik or sometime at the pub there waiting for you. Or you have your other activity that are more interesting because your life is this way. You do not understand the importance of spiritual teaching, the importance of developing the understanding of life. Means understand the nature's law that governs life and existence, understand truth. So these five mental hindrances is the cause of ignorance, and because of this ignorance, which is very strong, it will continue to feed on the mental hindrance. So you cannot break. So this mental hindrance will again condition you from the three types of bad conduct. Because when you are deluded, when you have this mental hindrance, it is the result of how you live your life. Three types of bad conduct means your actions, speech, and thought process. They are not in accordance. Understand? Yeah? The first one is wrong thought. What is wrong thought? Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, selfishness, your whatever suffering and misery, insecurity. So all these are wrong thought. Whereas you have right thought, it will lead to peace, confidence, happiness, joy, then love, compassion, and all those things. So that aspect of the three bad conduct is very important. Then you have wrong speech, wrong action. Means all the ten, they call it the opposite of the ten meritorious action. The ten demeritorious action, you commit them all. Three of them are via action. Four of them are via speeches. Then another three is via your thought process. So these three types of bad conduct come from your lack of sense restraint. Because when you don't train your mind to have mindfulness, to restrain your senses, to see your evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then these three types of bad conduct will arise. So the reason for this, the Buddha, is the new treatment for this three type of bad conduct is the lack of sense restraint. Means when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel or think of something, you are not mindful. You straight away through habitual tendency or your wrong view, you just react and get angry and create all the mental hindrance, like and dislike and all this thing. Then the reason for your lack of sense restraint is because you lack mindfulness and clear comprehension. You have not meditated. You have not done this training. That's why we teach you here to develop ultimately mindfulness and clear comprehension. So clear comprehension got four types. Then the reason why you lack mindfulness and clear comprehension is because you lack the initial wisdom. So this initial wisdom Ayoniso Manasikara is the result of not listening to the Dhamma. When you don't listen to the Dhamma, you cannot have Yoniso Manasikara. So you become Ayoniso Manasikara. Means you lack wisdom or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. And this is because you are not having right view and right understanding. Means you didn't listen to the Dhamma. Not listening to the Dhamma, the true teaching. Yeah? Means you lack faith in the Triple Gem. Then you cannot straighten your view. You cannot develop Yoniso Manasikara. That's how the Avijja cycle hit you very, very severely. And the reason why you didn't go and listen to the Dhamma or the true Dhamma is because you don't have good Dhamma friends who can advise you or encourage you. Like most of you come here through what? Through Dhamma friend, isn't it? Mainly Suyana. Suyana brought a lot. So when you understand this, then you feel appreciated. Yeah. Then I will go through the enlightenment sequence, then you will know why as Dhamma friends, Kayanamita, you actually has a lot of benefit. Because you already out of the 10 to realize enlightenment. Most of you have the first 4. And a lot of them even develop until this one, the 7 factors of enlightenment. And most of them have this quality. That's why some of them have developed the understanding too. So under the enlightenment sequence, he said, what you need is you must have good Dhamma friends or Kayanamita, the first criteria, the Buddha said. When you have good Dhamma friends, especially noble friends, there are 2 types of Dhamma friends. Dhamma friends are friends who walk the path of Dhamma, means we cultivate the Buddhist teaching sincerely, then with faith and diligently. So we are called Kayanamita or Dhamma friends. Then there is another type, Kayanamita that already awakened, has the Dhamma. So these are called noble friends, not ordinary Dhamma friends, noble friends, because they have the teaching, they have the wisdom, the understanding. So when you have good Kayanamita, you will have condition to listen to the true Dhamma, just like most of you all when you attend all these classes. Then when you listen to the true Dhamma, you will have faith in the Triple Gem, because you know this teaching is so unique, so wonderful. It not only let you understand life, it can make you enlightened. It can transform you completely, character-wise, personality-wise, and understanding-wise, or wisdom. And it transforms your life completely. You're no longer deluded, heedless. Then your life starts to take a turn, change. Then everything goes your way. Then you experience a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of peace. And your mind is full of clarity. You are always mindful, heedful, without problem. Nothing can make you unhappy, not to say miserable. Because you understand everything very clearly. So this faith in the Triple Gem will bring forth the condition for you to constantly listen to the true Dhamma and develop your practice, your cultivation. That's why as you listen to the true Dhamma, as you reflect and contemplate on it, you develop the first and second turning wisdom. They call it Suttamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya. So when you stabilize these 2, you can straighten your view. That's how you develop Yoniso Manasikara, the initial wisdom. This is wise attention or consideration at the moment of sense experience. So this initial wisdom or Yoniso Manasikara is born of the first and second turning wisdom. For those who are new, first turning means when you listen to the teaching of the Buddha or the sutta as expounded by the Buddha. Through listening, you can understand. Then this is the first turning wisdom. They call it wisdom born of hearing the sutta, the discourse of the Buddha. Then after that, you reflect on it, contemplate on it, and develop the stability of understanding. That becomes the second turning. Means you inquire into it according to the Buddha's guideline. Then the 4 noble truth, you turn it the second time. This noble truth was suffering, the first noble truth is to be understood. So you inquire, why did the Buddha say that? How can I understand what suffering is? Then when you inquire, you develop deeper understanding of this noble truth of dukkha. It's all in the notes there, the email compilation, the three turning. Then you can also go to the second turning or the second noble truth. Second noble truth says the cause of suffering is craving. And this craving is to be abandoned. You have to abandon it. You have to severe it. Yeah. Then you ask yourself, why did the Buddha say craving is the cause of suffering? Then you check, what did the teaching say? The teaching say there are three types of craving. Sensual craving, karma tanha, is the first one. So that one is craving of the senses. That's why your like and dislike, these are craving of your senses. It will bring about suffering. Then the second one is bhava tanha, craving to be. To become somebody, like a CEO or king or a politician and all this thing. Or to be somebody famous. So when you have this craving to be, you think by achieving it, you will have good life, happy life. But most people end up miserable. Then when they are promoted, got the hot seat, they realize that seat is too hot. A lot of backstabbing, politics and all those things, and nobody stay long there, unless you are very unique. Then you crave not to be. You quickly want to relinquish those positions. So in life, there are a lot of examples that you can see in real life. So craving to be and not to be, both are also craving. You will also have suffering. That's why when there is craving, there is suffering. So how not to have craving? How not to have craving? You mean until now you don't know? When you develop the wisdom, you will see the futility of all this craving. Why must you crave? You want to have good life. Do you have to crave to have good life? You don't have to, is it? You work towards it, is it? Take care of karma, karma take care of life, then everything will go your way. Why must you crave? Why must you desire? The Buddha already said, well, you cannot get what you want, suffering will come to be. So why do you want to have craving? Even your expectation in life is a craving, do you know now? And a lot of people are hurt. What is the expectation? Expect to be promoted. True or not? Expect your boss to understand you. But the famous saying is what? All boss are kedukut. They never think of you. They only think of you when they need you. They will never appreciate what you have done for them. Unless you talk to them. You talk to them also, they say, oh, okay, I'll look into it. When they look into it, they never tell you. Understand? Then after the year end, you expect the bonus and all those things. Then when you receive, ayo, standard, no different. Then you go and see, ayo, I forgot. You should have seen me before I asked the accounts to pay. Next year, remind me. You have all this type of, what they call frustration. Of course, it's an excuse for him, but inside you, how you feel? You are the CEO, you are the boss though. You want to rectify this, it's very easy, isn't it? Correct or not? Just instruct the HR, isn't it? Yeah. Why not we review this? This staff is very good, he performed. So we should actually reward him. But if he wants to reward you, he will remember, I tell you. He don't have to give you a reason. So craving will not make you happy. Then the other thing about expectation is, you expect your loved one to understand you. Well, this is how spouse relationship fail. Then sometimes your brother, sister, you expect them to, understand you, respect you, and treat you in certain way. Then newly married onwards, expect the spouse to remember their birthday. The moment you forgot the birthday, I tell you, hell went loose. A lot of things can happen. But it's only a birthday. But they equate it as what? That guy forgotten about me already. Last time when dating that time, always remember, write me beautiful card and all those things. After that, love fly out of the window. they always say when poverty strike or hit, love fly out the window. But this one, no poverty also, that date cannot be remembered. So if you rely on all those things, you will have problem. So don't have expectation, don't have craving, don't have desire. People are just the way they are. Let them be. If they know how to live their life, their karma will be beautiful. Then they will have good life. But if they don't know, it's their life. Let them live. For you, you only do your part, your duty, and so on. You can have the condition to advise, you advise. You can talk to them, talk to them. But whether they are willing to listen to you or not is another aspect. Okay? So you don't force things on people, and likewise, yeah, you don't do things that bring about unnecessary misunderstanding. If they are not in the condition to receive this type of advice, the best thing is don't try to do anything. Accord and flow. You got condition, do. No condition, let things be. And then you always at peace. Then whether he happy or not happy, you always happy. Then he will become very frustrated. Why you always happy on? Why you never get angry with me? Last time you used to get angry with me, scold me and all those things. Then you say, I have learned the teaching. I don't want to play the game of suffering. You know what is game of suffering, huh? Tongku that you see. Every time I argue with you, you think of fun. I full of misery, you know, full of anger, hatred. You know. Oh, I always recall all the wrong thoughts, you know, what you did to me and all those things. You know, how irresponsible you are. You know. This is wasting time. You know. These are not worth considering. You know. These are all wrong thoughts. So I don't want to play that game of suffering. You understand? You know. Play that game of suffering with what? Hold on to that anger, that hatred, the envy, the jealousy. Oh. Last time, dating that time, oh, honey, got the word honeymoon also. So honey, how are you? After getting married, relationship sour already, no more honey already. I heard some of them told me, that bastard. Then somebody said, that bitch, I don't know who is that. So, one moment when you are in love, all the sweet things come out. The moment you are in the opposite mind state, I tell you. That's why there is a famous saying, never, never what? Never cheat a lady. Don't do what to a lady. Don't make them very angry. Make them angry a bit, okay. Don't make them very angry. You make them very angry, you can die in miserable way. They can chop you out. How many pieces, I don't know. So anger has no limit. Understand? When they hate, that hatred can go very far, I tell you. That's why must you cause all this misunderstanding? Cause this anger, hatred, envy, jealousy. And this has karmic consequences. What you did to people, you will suffer back in future. To no point. So now we have finished this, we come back to this. So this first three you have, isn't it? This first three very easy. You have Dhamma friends, you listen to Dhamma, you straighten your view, you have faith in the Triple Jack. Then you can also develop the first and second learning wisdom to develop the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. So this Yoniso Manasikara is very important, the initial wisdom. So this initial wisdom, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, very important. Well, for you to exercise sense restraint, you must have this wisdom. Then for you to exercise the sense restraint, you must also have Sati and Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension. Well, without mindfulness, you cannot see the evil roots. Then you don't know how to arise a four right effort to abandon and all those things. So this is where most kayamita are lacking, the daily mindfulness. That's why in the meditation I always say you come for fat form of meditation to train your mind and stabilize your mindfulness. Then use it to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Starting with the four posture, followed by clear comprehension and mindfulness of all action, all movement in the present moment. So this sati sampajana is where you all need to put in a lot of effort. Yeah. The moment you hit this, you are home. I tell you, you are home. That's why daily mindfulness is most important. So this daily mindfulness and clear comprehension, the moment you hit it, you will have sense restraint. When you have sense restraint, the three way of good conduct is automatic. You cannot break your precept anymore. By then, you would have hit sotapannaship here. At least, I tell you. Yeah. Otherwise, the three way of good conduct cannot happen. Means, here, whatever you do, action, speech, and thought, no evil root, no negativity, no greed, hatred, and delusion. Then after that, only you have the ability to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why in the sutta, the four foundations of mindfulness, you can read the beginning statement. After overcoming covetousness and grief, yeah, means you don't have this covetous mind, the greedy mind, the possessive mind, the mind that cling on to things, hold on to things. Then you cannot become unhappy anymore. You won't grieve over whatever happened because you have the initial wisdom. Then under the initial wisdom, you will have the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, the five daily contemplation. This body of mind is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and die. Then whatever that I own, they are of the nature, yeah, to arise and to cease. Means separation is a reality. Separation from loved one, from your possession, everything. Yeah. Everything will separate. Like our spiritual trip. It will come to an end finally. So the ending of everything is a reality. Even your life. They always say, death is a certainty. It will die. Although you always say life is uncertain. A lot of uncertainty. Yeah. You don't understand life. That's why you say, life is really uncertain. Anything can happen. But death is very certain. You will surely die. But when do you die? You don't know. But then you didn't go further. You should probe. Who died? What died? Oh, then when you realize that, you straight away become enlightened. No one died. Nothing died. Just separation of consciousness from the form. Like what we have gone through on our earlier sharing. Then when you understand all this, you become different. So the three way of good conduct is the beginning of the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. When you have the three way of good conduct, you cannot have desire, selfishness, all those things. And you cannot become unhappy, grief, and all those things. That's why when you have that, only your mindfulness can have clarity, can have the stability, because your daily mindfulness is there, your four foundation of mindfulness will be very easy. Then as you do the four foundation of mindfulness, you will know you are on the right path, because the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. If you are not on the right path, it will not arise. That's why the seven stages of purification, the Buddha said, there is a stage of purification called purification of path and non-path. Yeah. So when the factors of enlightenment are not there, you are on the wrong path. When they are there, it is on the right path. Then it will lead to enlightenment, because these are enlightenment factor. Okay? So this complete the complete understanding of Abhijja Sutta. Sadhu. You can rejoice. Then now I teach you about the real meditation. This one you understand. You will know how to meditate. It becomes very easy. Jay Krishnamurti called Finding Silence. He has this book. Every day he has a quote. 365. Then this one is December 29, the Book of Life. He called it the Book of Life. When you understand this quote, you understand life. That's why this is the Book of Life. So Finding Silence. He said, if you have followed this inquiry into what is meditation, and have understood the whole process of thinking. See, what is thinking? Thinking is what? Creating thought, sankhara. This is the mundane mind, understand? So what is meditation? Meditation is to develop the heedfulness to understand truth. Understand? The mindfulness. When you are mindful, aware, you can see things as they are, you can awaken, you can understand. So he said here very clearly, if you have followed the inquiry, or this inquiry into what is meditation, that's why he always tell people, don't make the mistake. People never ask the question, what is meditation? What do people ask when you want to learn meditation? Please teach me how to meditate, correct or not? That is a wrong question. How can I teach you how to meditate when you don't even understand what is meditation? You see the fallacy or not? It's just like you have a problem in life, okay? You come and ask me, Bratil, I want to meditate. Why? Because they say, if I meditate, I become enlightened, my problem gone. Gullible, huh? You don't even want to find out what is your problem. Huh? You just think that by meditating one day, you will become enlightened and your problem is gone. Do you think the problem will be gone? Your problem will never be gone. Huh? Your problem is your problem. Huh? So first, I have to understand my problem. When I understand my problem, then I inquire. Is this really a problem? What did the teaching say? The teaching said there is no problem in this world. The teaching has four noble truths. He said the first noble truth explained to you the reality of life and existence. There is a noble truth that explains clearly to you what suffering is. The Buddha never said life is suffering. He said there is a first noble truth that explains very clearly what dukkha is. And he said, this noble truth of suffering is to be understood. And there are eight conditions in life that can make you miserable and you can end up having a lot of suffering if you don't have the wisdom. So this noble truth of suffering is to tell you the prevalence of suffering when you don't have the understanding of his teaching. It doesn't say life is suffering. That's why in the third noble truth, he said enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. You did not suffer. That's why there is no such thing as life is suffering. Suffering is a reality when you don't have the wisdom. So that noble truth is very important. So when you have this suffering, it's because you are deluded. You don't understand. You go and perceive it with negativity, then it becomes a problem. You see the point or not? If I don't perceive it with negativity, then it was never a problem. Because the Buddha said, these are life reality. Like birth, old age, sickness and death. Every living being that lives long enough has to go through birth, old age, sickness and death. The one who suffer are those that don't have the understanding of his teaching. You cannot accept this reality. Because to you, getting sick, getting old and dying is miserable. Because you fear death. You fear disease and sickness, especially traumatic disease. Then you fear getting old. Where you think this form of mind is you, this human being is you. That's why you are deluded. But when you meditate, you realize this is not you. This is just a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditioned for you to come to this world. So use it like a tool and a vehicle. Don't worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. And then your mind is free. It's just like your car. This vehicle is like your car, take you around. When your car get damaged or have problem, you go and cry and lament. Maybe you feel your pocket will have a big hole that you are not happy. But the car is a car, it doesn't affect you there. So you need to see a good mechanic, you got to maybe get it repaired. Do it. Don't go and lament over it. So likewise, the tool for you to use it appropriately. Don't use it to arise the wrong thought and make you miserable. So that you hit out at others and make yourself miserable. That is the wrong way of using that tool. It's like a knife. You use it to harm yourself and harm others. That is the wrong way of using that knife, isn't it? So your thought is the same. It's a tool given to you by your karmic nature to allow you to have the good life. So use it to meditate. Use it to arise all the right thought, to develop all the wholesomeness, the good mind state, yeah, so that you can have the good life and beautiful life. So these are all the understanding. So when you understand, life becomes different. Yeah. So the Buddha's teaching is very simple and it's very, very potent, very powerful. It can awaken you. So through this understanding, yeah, you will come to understand what is meditation. So meditation is just to develop the ability to silence your mind, to be aware, so that you can learn about the nature's law, how you function as a human being, what makes you miserable, what makes you unhappy, what condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your self-delusion, your attachment, your craving, your clinging that bring about suffering. So when you see all this, you understand all this, then you can reverse it through your understanding. That's why meditation is to silence your mind, to allow you to see things clearly, see things as they are. So here Krishnamurti says, if you have followed this inquiry into what is meditation and have understood the whole process of thinking, then you will find that the mind is completely still in that total stillness of the mind. In that total stillness of the mind, he said, there is no watcher. You know what is a watcher, right? Yeah. That's why in Thailand, some of the book, they say, stay with the one who knows. What is there to know? There is a knower, understand? The watcher and the knower is no different. Stay with the awareness. Don't stay with the watcher. The watcher is the ego, understand? Your thought. So there is no watcher, there is no observer. When there is no observer, there is nothing to observe, isn't it? It's just a pure perception. Yeah. And therefore, no experiencer. There is no being inside there to experience anything. Do you understand? At all. There is no entity who is gathering experience. And who is this entity that is gathering experience? Huh? Read. Who? Huh? Read. Ayo, you all didn't know what line I am. You are line 4. Which is the activity of the self-centered mind. What is that mind? Your egoic mind, your mundane mind. Understand not? This is the one which is the activity of the self-centered egoic mind, your mundane mind. Then he said, don't say that is samadhi. And what is the next word? Which is all nonsense. Because you don't know what that word is, you simply use, I'm in samadhi. You think you are in samadhi, the thought is very active and you think you are in samadhi. Because you have only read of it in some book and have not discovered it for yourself. There is a vast difference between the word and the thing. The word is not the thing. Now you understand, huh? Like the word door is not that door, understand? So the word samadhi is not samadhi as the reality means. The word door is not the door. So to meditate is to how do you push the mind? What is that mind? That is your mundane mind, your egoic mind, understand? Sakayaditi with self-delusion. You have to push that mundane mind off its self-centered activity. Why? Because that self-centered activity comes from the personality, the ego, the I, the me, the mind. When you believe this five aggregate of form and mind, the human being is real, you, then what happens? You develop selfishness. True or not? You think you exist. You can own things. You can have things. That's how the evil root of greed, selfishness, come to be. Then you become possessive. Then you want things your way. Then you want authority. You want status. Everything is greed. And because you think you exist, when things don't go your way, when people make you unhappy, you become angry, violent. The evil roots of hatred arise. Envy, jealousy, everything arise. Then the last one is, where you don't understand, there is fear. Fear of dying, fear of the unknown, fear of losing your loved one, fear of losing your job, your career, your wealth, your property. All these are fear. Fear is delusion. So because of that egoic mind, so to meditate is to purge the mind of the self-centered activity. And if you have come this far in meditation, you will find there is silence in total emptiness. What is total emptiness? Yeah, you think the thing can without anything is empty. The scientists will tell you got air and all inside there. Understand? So what is in total emptiness? Empty your mind of is not only defilement, content. Remember? Sankhara, the content of consciousness. You know what is content of consciousness? Sankhara, including feeling and perception. That is the content of consciousness. So when you empty that, not only defilement gone, no. All the good mind state, all the Dhamma also gone. Understand? In that total silence, in that total emptiness, only there is silence. The silence conditioned by your thought is not silent, understand? Especially when they are in one-pointedness, ekakata. The thought tell them, oh, I got no thought. Who say you got no thought? It's the thought, isn't it? So no thought is a thought, isn't it? When you are really in the state of silence, there is no movement, no word, nothing. There is no mundane mind to know that there is no thought. Do you understand? Because all of the content has been emptied. That's why I say in the direct seeing, there is no word, no concept, nothing. That's why in true emptiness, there is no Dhamma, no Four Noble Truths, no attainment, nothing. It's just that silence. That true silence, that true mind, that true nature, no word, nothing. It's not a being. It's just that thing. Yeah. So you have to meditate and silence until completely no thought. That's why that stillness, paucity, tranquility, and that will become very still until finally it ceases. It can only cease when you have wisdom. When you have developed the awakening. Yeah. Then when you cease the mundane mind, this is what Nibbana is all about, enlightenment in the here and the now. So this part is very important. The mind is uncontaminated by? By what? Nothing to do with life, nothing to do with society, you understand now? It is no longer subject to any? Influenced by external condition, understand? What people say, what people do, what happened to the world, nothing to do with that silence, understand? Then, to the pressure of any desire or craving, means the mundane mind is totally not there, the craving, the desire, it is completely, this is what aloneness is all about. This is not loneliness, please. Loneliness means you feel very lonely. You need a companion. This is alone. This is aloneness. And being alone, untouched, it is? What is innocent? Innocent means like a newborn baby. No cunningness. No fear, nothing. Very innocent. Pure. Pristine. Because nothing inside there. Therefore, there is a possibility for that which is timeless, eternal, to come into being. You know what is this or not? What is this timeless? Akaliko. The true Dhamma is akaliko, timeless. This is the unconditioned. Understand? This is Nibbana. That's why. Therefore, when you are in that complete silence and when you already have the wisdom, therefore there is a possibility for that which is timeless, Nibbana, to come into being. Otherwise, you cannot realize. That's why all those people who use thought-based meditation to go and search cannot find. Because it's just so simple, silent, relaxed. Then I sent to you all in the WhatsApp just now. During gathering of Kayamita, my birthday, some Kayamita sent me that message, which is very good. You all have read it? Now we open. Then you read it to me. That is what meditation is all about. There's a group of Kayamita. Okay. The one with the what? Green color on. This one. So you expand it out. The message is silent, relax, aware, and let it return to its original state. You will realize your true mind, your true nature. Then they go and put my name there some more. I also don't know until I open up the present. But nevertheless, it's a very good message. The four support I always advise you all. Relax, aware, then maintain as long as you can. Silent. Aware means silent. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. So don't try to be mindful. No need. The moment you are without thought, you already have sati, aware. No need to do anything. So you just relax, silent. If the thought arises, let it arise. It will slow down on its own. It will settle down on its own. And it will become still. Because your original state of mind, your true mind, before the stirring, before the arising of thought, is just that state of stillness, silence, tranquility. Within there is just what they call peace. Oh, last time, rub off already. We wrote it somewhere here. So within that stillness, there is clarity. That's why the awareness has this clarity to see things as they are. Then there is this silence, stillness, tranquility. And within there is the ultimate eternal life. This is the oneness nature, your true nature. And this true mind, which is your silent mind, your true nature, it can see things as they are. It can awaken to truth. And it can give rise to wisdom, enlightenment. So this enlightenment, when they arise, your form and mind, let's say this is your form and mind. I have to draw like that. After your direct seeing is able to awaken, then it develops the wisdom. Because it can see things as they are. Then when it awakens, we have this enlightenment sequence. This wisdom is connected to the form and mind. And because it's connected, this form and mind, or so-called human being, you can say is enlightened. But it is not you, understand? But this is impermanent, subject to suffering, when there is no wisdom. Then this one is also non-self, empty. That's why it's not you. This one is karmically conditional, your segmented life. Like this life, my nature come with this, you call Brother Teo. This is my segmented form and mind, the human being that I take. But this is not me, understand now. But this one will separate. This one will degenerate. But this one is dependent originating, condition arising. When the consciousness trapped inside separate, this one gone. We have no more conditions to sustain it. So you have to understand wisdom. You have to awaken through the silent mind, through meditation. Then when you awaken, this one connected to this form of mind. That's why this form of mind no longer deluded, no more suffering. So you can say this guy is enlightened, but this is not you. That's why you don't worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. But this is a very beautiful form of mind because this one has the wisdom, the understanding. It can live life to the fullest. That's why it can understand life very clearly. It can experience the third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda. You can get to live the noble life of enlightened being. The noble life, which is very different from the what they call Puttujana. Puttujana, the worldly life. The worldly life is full of up and down. And you don't take care of karma. There is more down than up. Sometimes you hardly find anything positive. Most of the time it's negative. But when you hit this, when the wisdom is connected, your life is beautiful. Everything is meaningful, beautiful. Everything go your way. There is no such thing as suffering, misery. Even unhappy moment, none. Even the body very sick, you are still very happy. About to die also, you are very happy. That's why my teacher always say, you must learn how to die before you die. Then he always tell me, he say, if you can laugh at the dead, you are really beautiful. You know what is laugh at the dead? Your own form and mind dying, you know, and you can laugh when it's dying. Oh, you are most beautiful. Because that fellow is not you. I remember he told me, you can laugh at the dead. You are most beautiful. Now, and it's not difficult. To laugh at the dead is not difficult. You will know this one, the form and mind. When it's about to cease, you will know. You will know. Because the whole thing will happen. The life force, it want to cut off already. You will know. Then before it cut off, it will go through cessation. You will realize the state of Nibbana. Then after that, the random of consciousness will come. But your mundane mind, everything ceases. It's just choop. No sound. Then no rebirth consciousness. You understand? Because cessation, you went through parinibbana. The nature goes through parinibbana. There is no rebirth consciousness. But there is no ignorance, no avijja. But the consciousness inside the three areas come back to one. This one can still come out, no problem. And this one, you know how to use it. It's very useful. My nature will use it to probe the universe. But this one will finally disperse also. But if there is condition, I don't know whether there will be condition. After it probe the universe, when you understand, if you got a chance to get back to a body, then you can come back to the world and tell the world, yeah, you need a body to come back. But definitely not this body anymore. Because this body, I think it would have been cremated or whatever. But whatever it is, don't worry. That one is for those who have the understanding. They can use it. But most of the time, the condition will unfold by itself. That's why when I discussed with my last guy, he was full of joy. I told him I will do this. He looked at me. He said, you are on the right track. Yeah, he go and touch the pure occult. He actually was warning me how the teacher, they all also touch occult. You know what is pure occult or not? The pure psychic, no negativity. They call it occult. OCCULT. You all haven't heard. Those thought based on psychic. Occult is pure psychic. Understand? They got such differentiation of pure psychic. Means they don't use it negatively. They don't use it to harm people, all those things. But the moment you touch occult, he also told me, you will lose your wisdom where you touch occult. That's why he always tell me, because I say, not only I don't touch, I cannot touch, because it's from the past. This nature understand and it make that vow, it will not touch. This life, it come, it can never touch. I went through them, but I can never touch them. Where I went through the mindfulness, the continuous mindfulness. So this is how the whole meditation is to be developed to understanding. Means you have to silence your mind until it's completely still. that is your true mind, that is your meditative mind, then use that one to develop wisdom, to develop the four foundations of mindfulness, yeah, to cultivate. Then when the enlightenment factor arises, especially when you already have understood the Avijja Sutta, by the time you can do the four foundations of mindfulness, you will progress very fast. Because by then, your daily mindfulness and clear comprehension would have been very stable. Otherwise, you cannot have the sense restraint. Without the sense restraint, three-way of good conduct cannot happen. Then when you have this mindfulness, daily mindfulness, very stable, your fourth foundation of mindfulness is very, very easy. It's like you just stream through. Yeah. Then you keep on having the enlightenment factor unfolding. You keep on in that state of mind. Yeah. Especially mindfulness leading to investigation. Then that time, I remember, life itself is our greatest teacher. Everything in life you can investigate into it, because this is truth, this is Dhamma. And truth keep on arising. That's why the Dhamma investigation gives you so much joy and strengthen your faith. Then it will drive you further, your virya become very strong. Then you keep on experiencing pity. Pity. Then your mind becomes still, paucity, tranquility, still. A lot of stillness until very stable. Then it becomes samadhi, collected and unvarying. Then throughout the day, your mind is like that. That's why when you have that, it will see things as they are, it will awaken. Then the upekkha, enlightenment factor, the last one, will arise when the wisdom is there. Then your equanimity of mind is born of wisdom, not a conditioned state. And that one will bring forth the full seven factor enlightenment. Then that form and mind, no need concentration, no need samadhi. You will be in that state. You remember the young monk that Ajahn Ajahn mentioned, visited him, 29 years old. First pangsa, he said, he managed to go into jhana samadhi. And he can read his past life. He said, the monk told him, he was previously the Long Po in that village, very senior monk. Then after that, his ego not rooted out. Then his jhana started to degenerate. He became so miserable. At one stage, he was having suicidal thought. He wanted to commit suicide. Then he managed to recover finally by going back to the five spiritual faculties and developing the sati and all those things. Then he got back his jhana and he became peaceful again. That's why he came and shared the experience with Ajahn Ajahn Chah. Then Ajahn Ajahn Chah, I think he knew. That's why he now talked about the spiritual faculty, sada, virya, sati. Now samadhi, he qualified it. Last time he always says concentration. Now he said collectedness of mind. Different already. Then he also know that Buddha also same. He did all the jhana under the two teachers, Udaka and Alara, and yet he was not enlightened. So jhana, you have to be careful. If you do it, you have to release it out and go back to daily mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot. Without daily mindfulness, you cannot awaken. Yet you cannot see things as they are. You cannot have the direct seeing. The silent mind. Because everything is suppressed, controlled. We call it suppression. The energy, the jhana is too strong. That's why you reach apana samadhi, everything is suppressed. The five mental hindrances suppressed. The three evil roots suppressed. You cannot come out. That's why you cannot root it out. And because of that, they don't develop wisdom. They use energy field to suppress everything. And they are like enlightened under that circumstances. Okay? Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit and transfer of merits. Starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu lokasasana itavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yāvā nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu.
Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
I have it. I have it. Yeah.